Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be able to speak to you bright and early. I'm glad that you were able to make it out. And before beginning, I would just like to acknowledge my co-authors who unfortunately are not able to be here with us today. Annie Portella, who is from the World Health Organization's Department for Maternal, Newborn, Child, and Adolescent Health. Cecilia Capello and Carlo Santarelli from the Secretariat of Enfants du Monde in Geneva, Switzerland, and Leonel Velasquez, who is from our field office in El Salvador. And just to start off, I have no relationships to disclose regarding this presentation. Okay, the learning objective for this presentation this morning is to compare and contrast a government-led versus an NGO-led approach to building coalitions in international partnerships. So first of all, these partnerships were developed in El Salvador and Bangladesh and based on a program which uses the World Health Organization framework for working with individuals, families, and communities to improve maternal and newborn health. The aim of this framework is to empower communities to use their resources to improve maternal and newborn health and to overcome barriers to health services access. There's a strong emphasis both on community participation, so including the community at all levels of program phases, and also on intersectoral and inter-agency collaboration, acknowledging that when different partners bring their strengths, that programs can be strengthened through this. So we have, in El Salvador and Bangladesh, we have two very different models of building partnerships that have arisen. In El Salvador, it has been a very, I guess you could say, top-down approach led by the national government and working down to different levels in the partnership. And in Bangladesh, it has been more localized. So it started really at the local level, and then we've tried to work up to include other actors. So this is the implementation chain in El Salvador, which is really what's happened there. But this is actually the implementation chain that is promoted by the framework. This is what they suggest. So it's first to have a national working group in maternal and newborn health, a national IFC committee, which is led by the National Ministry of Health and includes other ministries, notably the Ministry of Education. And it can also include international organizations, WHO, UNFPA, PAHO, for example, other NGOs, and any other actors working in maternal and newborn health that are interested. And then going down, there's a regional IFC committee. And you can see that there's also some parallel communication between the Ministry of Health, the National Ministry of Health, and the regional Ministry of Health, but then there's also a regional IFC committee that is created with the regional Ministry of Health, other ministries, and then NGOs and other partners working in maternal and newborn health. And then finally, at the local level, we have a local IFC committee, which includes health centers, community leaders, any other community groups, as well as the district level Ministry of Health. So that is what is proposed in the IFC framework, but this isn't always what happens. So first of all, the program in El Salvador really started in 2002, and it was during the 26th Pan American Conference that PAHO and other partners decided to include the IFC framework in the Pan American Regional Maternal and Newborn Health Strategy. And then in 2003, PAHO selected four countries to begin implementation of this framework. So El Salvador was one of them, along with Bolivia, Paraguay, and Honduras. In 2004, there was some contact at the local level, but very, very minimal, I have to say, when Enfants du Monde and WHO presented the IFC framework to some local actors. But it was really at this time that a lot was happening at the national level. The Ministry of Health included the IFC framework in the National Maternal and Newborn Health Strategy. And then at this time, they also selected eight initial municipalities for intervention. And they created a national IFC committee, which included the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education, PAHO, Enfants du Monde, and CHIS, which is a group of seven NGOs that work in El Salvador. And then once this committee was created, other committees were created at the departmental and the municipal level. And then finally in 2005, we saw the first wave of implementation. And then since that time, and especially since 2009, there's been a progressive scale-up to various geographical regions, and it really has taken in a large part of the country. So there are some definite strengths that we've seen in this model. First of all, it has streamlined government approval of the program as the government's in charge. You don't need to seek that approval in the same way that we've needed to in Bangladesh. So that simplifies things in a lot of ways. And also, the program has really been strengthened and legitimized by its inclusion in the Maternal and Newborn Health National Strategy. In addition, this model has also allowed for close collaboration with NGOs and the Ministry of Health at the national level, and also has strengthened community participation with the district level Ministry of Health, well, the municipal Ministry of Health, which has kind of gone up to the national level to a certain degree. It's also proven very conducive to scale up. It's been very easy to move forward on scaling up as the Ministry of Health selects new regions for implementation. However, there are some weaknesses as well, some difficulties. First of all, it requires a lot of time for so many actors to learn to work together and work in a collaborative manner, and really to appreciate each other's strengths. These are a lot of organizations that haven't had much contact before, and it has been difficult in many ways. It has taken a lot of time to really learn, for these organizations to learn to communicate together. Also, there's been a tendency for large organizations to establish parallel communication with national actors that they've worked with in the past. And so this has been problematic, to really get multiple actors to communicate together and not simply the ones that they have had a history with already. Also, we still struggle with a lack of established processes and mechanisms for continued communication. So that has been a weakness. The program in Bangladesh, like I already said, has come about in a very different way. And it was in 2005 that Enfant du Monde began discussions with Pari Development Trust, a local NGO in Netrakona district in Bangladesh. It's located in northern Bangladesh along the border belt with India. And at this time, Enfant du Monde proposed implementation of the IFC framework, as Pari had decided that they wanted to target maternal and newborn health in this district. So they started talking with other NGOs that were already working in this district, including Jatiyotaran Sangha, Garo Baptist Convention Primary Healthcare Project, and World Vision Bangladesh. And these NGOs quickly became involved in the program. At this point, this partnership of NGOs address the District Health and Family Planning Department and began working with them, and also began including the Upazila health officials. So that's the sub-regional level. They also invited community representatives to participate in this IFC committee, which was being created. And in 2007, there was a finalization of an action plan. In 2008, all of the actors were trained. And in 2009, we had the first wave of implementation. And in the past couple of years, in 2010 and this year, we've had some involvement with the National Ministry of Health, but it has been limited, and also with the WHO country office. But otherwise, the involvement of WHO has really been at the secretariat. We are closely involved with WHO, but it's very distant in this case. So there are strengths to this model as well. First of all, the key actors are already located in the working region, which is a huge benefit. There's no need to try to decide whether key actors should be relocated to the area, whether they should travel in and out. So this is a huge benefit. Also, it requires less time to establish a dialogue with the partners because they've already had contact. They already know each other. They're already familiar with each other. So that is very simplified in this case. And then we've also been able to utilize the structures that have already been tested and developed and tested by NGOs working in the region. And so this has been very useful, especially in terms of community penetration structures that work well to identify community needs, and we've been able to really strengthen that in terms of maternal and newborn health. As for the weaknesses, it has been more difficult gaining government recognition at the national level. So that's challenging. Also, it's harder to gain widespread legitimacy when you're seen kind of as a small program working in a small area. And finally, we are trying to scale up to new regions, but this is problematic and much more difficult when we're working at just in this limited area with local partners, because we need to first identify regions where we could work, and then we need to seek approval from the Ministry of Health. And so this is very time-consuming and can be difficult when the Ministry of Health isn't directly involved in the program. So just to talk about some of the lessons learned. First of all, in all cases, we've noticed that developing intersectoral and interagency collaborations really does improve programs because we can capitalize on the strengths of different actors and different sectors, and it's a huge benefit to be able to use the Ministry of Education and just multiple actors who have a lot of valuable experience. Also, a key thing that we've learned is that commitment and consistent participation are required. And this can be difficult sometimes for actors who aren't really quite sure how much they want to be involved. And so really, when deciding who is going to be involved, it needs to be understood that this does require a great deal of commitment. Also, developing partnerships is time-consuming. In both cases, although it was easier in Bangladesh, it requires a lot of time, and this needs to be reflected in work plans because sometimes they can be a little bit too ambitious, and then it can be disappointing when things take more time than is expected. Also, it's clear that actors are generally more comfortable working on individual projects with punctual collaboration here and there, and so it does. It takes a lot of effort to help different organizations get out of their comfort zone a little bit and start trying to work together on a common project. And when these organizations consider who's going to be involved, their other commitments need to be considered, because we've seen cases where they select the people to be involved, but these people are already overloaded. And so when you add another element, another program that needs to be that they need to work on, they don't really have the time for it. So this needs to be taken into consideration. And finally, processes and mechanisms must be established to ensure ongoing communication, to make sure that this really does continue. Otherwise, there is a tendency for communication to stop, and then for organizations to become isolated from one another. So these processes really need to be created and implemented so that these organizations continue to work together. So just, I guess, for the take-home message, each program, although the WHO framework, the IFC framework, does propose a particular way of implementation of developing partnerships, this needs to be adapted to local context because it's not going to be possible everywhere, and it's not even necessarily the best model for each context. It's clear that in any case, any model that you use, there's going to be strengths and there's going to be weaknesses. So really, the important thing is to capitalize on the strengths and to work to see how you can overcome the weaknesses to make the strongest coalition possible. And in all cases, building coalitions strengthens programs. I think that's the biggest point, that it requires a lot of effort, but it's worth it. And I want to thank you for your attention, and I believe we're saving all questions for the end.